Welcome to S&C's podcast series, S&C Critical Insights. I'm Melissa Sawyer, and I co-head S&C's corporate governance and activism practice. And today I'm here with my partner, Eric Krothheimer, who is a leading M&A practitioner. Today we're going to be talking about NOL rights plans. Eric's going to explain what NOLs are and what NOL rights plans are and how they're implemented. And then I'm going to touch on some issues associated with them, how they're received by proxy advisory firms and institutional investors, and whether they're actually effective for their desired purpose. Eric?
Thanks, Melissa. Net operating losses, or as we call them, NOLs, can be a valuable asset to a company as it moves from a loss position to a company with positive income. They can be used to offset income in their future periods. However, the use of NOLs can be limited when there are certain ownership changes within a company. In the current environment, as stock prices have become depressed, many companies may be seeing opportunistic purchasers of their securities, which could cause some of these ownership changes. These ownership changes could have the unintended consequences of causing companies to lose these valuable NOL assets, which can be applied over many years. One way that companies may seek to protect their NOLs is through an NOL rights plan. Rights plans are a creature that have been around for a very long time, and the NOL rights plan is no different in terms of its structure than the standard takeover defense type rights plan. These rights plans can be implemented by any company that has blank check preferred stock without a shareholder vote. The way the pill operates is that when a shareholder or related group of shareholders cross a particular ownership threshold, then a stock purchase right is triggered in all the remaining shareholders. These other shareholders then get the right to acquire shares in the company at a discounted price. This ends up substantially diluting the offending shareholder or shareholders. There is also often an exchange feature which allows the non-offending shareholders to exchange each right for one share of stock in the company. For example, the ownership threshold in an NOL rights plan is often set at 5%. So by way of example, if someone buys 7 shares of a company that has 100 shares outstanding and the exchange feature is used, instead of owning 7 out of 100 shares, they would end up owning 7 out of 193 shares. In your standard takeover defense rights plan, the ownership threshold is often set at 15 to 20%. But in the NOL pill, that threshold is usually set at 5%, which is the threshold by which people can end up causing limitations on the NOLs. Melissa, over to you.
So Eric talked a little bit about what NOLs are and what NOL rights plans can do to help preserve NOLs. But NOL rights plans are not foolproof. They act as deterrents, but there are still incidents where shareholders inadvertently step over the triggering thresholds in NOL rights plans. And when that happens, although they could suffer dire consequences if the plan kicks into gear, the NOLs could nevertheless be lost. The only foolproof way to protect NOLs would be to implement a charter amendment that voids transfers that rise over the triggering threshold. Those charter amendments require shareholder approval and can be cumbersome to adopt and time-consuming to get put in place. Moreover, in some states, it's not clear that those types of charter amendments are even enforceable against shareholders who didn't vote in favor of them if they're put into charters post-IPO. The other consideration in relation to NOL rights plans is that not all shareholders and proxy advisory firms support them. ISS and Glass Lewis both have adopted policies in relation to NOL rights plans that indicate that they will not recommend withhold votes against directors who implement NOL rights plans if there is evidence that the NOLs were indeed a valuable asset and if the company otherwise has a good corporate governance profile. But there's lots of room for arguments to be made on either side of that equation, depending on how facts unfold. In addition, many institutional shareholders get nervous about NOL rights plans, particularly the large passive funds who are in some cases index investors and need to continue to accumulate ever-growing stakes in public companies because these NOL rights plans could make it difficult for them to continue to grow their percentage ownership in line with the index without an exemption being granted by the board of directors. So there are a number of difficult considerations that must be taken into account prior to putting an NOL rights plan in place. And for that reason, it's wise for a board of directors to consult with seasoned outside counsel and other advisors before they take this step.
Thanks for listening to S&C Critical Insights, and we hope that this was helpful. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.sulcrom.com. Stay safe.